Father Maximilian Kolbe was a Polish priest who was in the concentration camp. And on the day of his ordination, he wrote something very interesting. He was kind of hoping, or writing his hopes rather, for his life as a Catholic priest and his life as a person. And he said, "Lord, make me a great saint." Now, it would have been enough, I suppose, on some level to say, make me a saint. But he wanted to be a great saint. He wanted to aim so high in holiness, in his way of life. Make me a great saint. You know, when we live our lives and when we think about the goal of our lives, it really is to become a great saint. And that's not easy. As a matter of fact, left to our own devices, it's impossible. We cannot make ourselves great saints. We can merely open ourselves to the grace of God to do great and saintly things. And boy, is it today's gospel gives us a lot of great and saintly things. This is not an easy thing to do. As I look at the checklist of things that Jesus is challenging us to do, they seem utterly impossible for a normal person. Loving enemies, doing good to those who hate us, lending without expecting repayment, letting someone take our stuff and not demanding it back. These all seem like some kind of fairy tale or some kind of magical thing that's not in the real world. We could easily imagine Jesus saying to us, or was our saying to Jesus rather, "You know, you just don't know what it's like down here. You can't live that way. People are going to take advantage of you." But Jesus does understand that. Because as St. Paul tells us in the second reading, Jesus is the remedy for the sin of the first human. Just as in Adam all die, so in Christ all are saved. But it demands a whole really different way of thinking and seeing the world. One of the reasons I've recommended, for example, the Bible in a Year podcast is because it's helping to shape the way in which we would see the world if we believed that the words of the Bible were, as we're told, effective, living, and true. Now, that doesn't mean that everything is literally true. There are different styles of writing, and there's different ways of understanding, and so forth. There are a number of things. But what it does mean is that for Christians, we see the world differently. And we're called to act out of that way of seeing the world differently. We're called to fight against those things that keep us from being faithful to God. And that brings us to the first reading with Saul. King Saul had a fundamental weakness. It colors so much of what he does, and it helps us to understand so clearly why he gets himself into trouble. The basic problem for Saul is that he cares too much what other people think of him. And so, rather than rejoicing in the action of God, rather than saying, when David slew Goliath, "Wow, look at all the great things that God has done through David," he becomes jealous. And this jealousy, he allows it to consume him. And David is time and again faithful to Saul as his servant. And he's faithful to his religion because he recognizes that even though Saul is trying to kill him, God anointed Saul. And his faith in God will not allow him to kill or lay a hand on God's anointed because of the way in which David sees the world. Now, Lent, which is beginning in 10 days, is a way to help us to see the world as God sees the world. And so I'd like to do a little shameless plug for my own website, thefriar.org, because I have there, and over the next 9 days, beginning tomorrow, there'll be kind of what I'm calling a Preparing for Lent novena. Now, of course, novena is related to the word nine, and nine is important because that's the number of days between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost Sunday, when the disciples were waiting for the Spirit to come, when they were waiting for Jesus to come. But the purpose is really to try to spend time in prayer, asking God what we need to do to enter more deeply into prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. I don't know about you, but sometimes Lent catches me off guard and I just kind of react to something. This is what I'll do. But what if we saw the world through the lens of Scripture? What if we spent time asking God, what do I need to do to be more open to your coming into my life? How is it that my prayer life can be a little bit more strong? How can I be a little bit more disciplined? How can I do that? What should I do for Lent so that my prayer life is more effective? That I get to know you, Jesus, deep in my heart. Fasting certainly has to do with food, but it's not just about food. We can fast from a whole bunch of things. Maybe we need to fast from the internet. Maybe we need to fast from our phone. Maybe if you're like me, it would be a good exercise to fast from the snooze button in the morning. It's a sacrifice. And what a sacrifice does is it turns our attention away from ourselves to something else. If we were to fast from our phones, for example, well, Lord, we might have to actually talk to each other in our family. I remember seeing a meme once when the caption was, there was a family sitting there, and the father was talking to his wife, and he says, you know, it's a shame the internet went down. I got to know these people. They say they're my family. They're okay. They're kind of nice people. I think I like them. And then, how can we be generous? How can we be generous? Because that's what God's calling us to do too. All of these are antidotes to looking just at ourselves. Because the American temptation, I think, is to say, I just need to work a little harder. The American temptation is just to say, if I sacrifice, people will just take advantage of me. If I give money away, it will inspire people not to work or not to do whatever. But the church holds before us these three kind of pillars, so to speak, for Lent: prayer, fasting, almsgiving. To turn ourselves away from our hearts and toward the Lord Jesus. And so once again, I encourage you to look at my website, thefriar.org, and to participate in the Preparing for Lent novena, which starts tomorrow. Ask God for a deeper relationship with Him. Ask God to help you to get to know Jesus. And ask God to help you to become more active in the church that Jesus has founded.